This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Welcome to the How to Hunt Turkey podcast. I'm your host, Jay Screer. Friends, it's been an interesting month here in Missouri. The rains have come down, the floods have flooded. A lot of my turkey scouting is of no use because everything is flooded. And with all of that has come a very interesting development. The development that my already trash Wi-Fi has become even more trash. And it has put me out of communication with my fellow turkey hunters. The people that I have on this podcast, the people that I just enjoy talking to, I'm just having a hard time getting together with them because my Wi-Fi is trash. But I'm hoping that'll be fixed pretty soon. But for now, as we're in turkey season, I have an abundance of things to talk about that I think you might find very relevant, there we go, and perhaps even useful to you. So we're going to talk today about in-season turkey scouting. And it's a topic very near and dear to my heart right now because I've been doing a lot of it by necessity and by because I want to as well. So lots of different reasons to do in-season turkey scouting. And I've been having a ton of fun. So we're in the last week of Missouri's turkey season at the time of this recording. I have been out hitting it pretty hard, and I've been getting hit pretty hard by turkeys. This has been easily my most fun turkey season ever. And even if it ended today and I never got a bird this year, I would say that this turkey season has been the most valuable turkey season to me ever, because I have learned so much about turkey hunting, and I have gotten to play the game with more turkeys this year than I ever have in a single season, absolutely than all my seasons combined. I've seen a lot of birds. I have called in a lot of birds, and despite my best efforts, I have been unable to tag one of those birds. But that's pretty much all thanks to in-season scouting. And I got to give a quick shout out to Paul Campbell. If you guys listened to the episode a few weeks back with Paul Campbell, he was talking about New Spot Monday. And I mentioned on that podcast that Missouri's turkey season opens on a Monday. And so sure enough, I went to a new spot on that Monday with some friends of mine. I wasn't the one behind the gun. I just wanted to go see some new ground. And for whatever reason, I had a hard time imagining that I would go do that by myself. So I went with some buddies to a spot they had scouted out. And I got out there, and we were successful. We got a bird like 30 seconds after my camera died. So that's just great. And it was just an amazing experience. It was so cool. I learned a lot. I'm sure that'll probably be a podcast episode in and of itself later. But it really made for a super fun opening to turkey season. Just getting to be out there and hunting with buddies. I recorded an episode right after it. I was pretty fired up, as you guys probably remember. And it was just such a great start to the season. And from there, I branched out. We did a lot of hunting. And what ended up happening was, after a few hunts, I realized the spots that I had already scouted in the preseason had either fallen off or I got tired of hunting them. And I needed to come up with some new spots. And so it was time to start doing some in-season scouting. And so rather than the last couple weeks of this turkey season gradually getting worse and worse, I've been seeing better and better turkey hunting because I've been taking the time to put my nose to the grindstone, get out there and scout, get out there and hunt new places, and it's paid off in a big, big way. So just to break that down a little bit more, I had scouted a spot out by a lake. It was some core land, and I had seen some birds on it, and I was like, this is great. I'll come back here and I'll kill a bird. So I got back to that spot during turkey season. And the first thing that happened, I realized that because the lake had flooded, it had flooded all the bottom land around these ridge tops. And my whole plan was take the bottom land to walk around to different hills. They're not really ridge tops, they're hills. To go to different of these wooded hills and then hunt turkeys like that. Well, sure enough, first morning I get there, it's still pretty dark and I just see water everywhere. But not to worry, there's gobbling turkeys that are on this side of the high water. So I move in and I try to set up on some, and that ultimately didn't pan out for me. I had three different gobblers working circles around me, gobbling their heads off. And I just kept thinking, at any moment, it's going to happen. At any moment, it's going to happen. And then what happened was I heard a vehicle door slam. And a couple guys start talking full volume at like 7:30 in the morning. I later find out these people are trying to hunt turkeys. And they parked right by me. And not knowing where I was at all, they just went on about their hunt. Fortunately, they went a totally different direction. But when that happened, those birds shut up, and I never really got on him again that day. I later got up and looked around now that I was there in the daylight, and I realized that the stuff I was trying to call these birds through was way too thick, and I should have got a lot closer to them on the roost. But that was just a mistake I made. I was too timid. Once I could hear the birds pretty good, I stopped, rather than getting like right within their bubble as I should have. And so I learned that lesson, and I came back to that spot a few days later with a buddy of mine. He had never been turkey hunting before to speak of. He had been like once, and him and some family friends all went out to this one field, and they all sat in a circle all the way around this field for like 3 hours and then didn't see any turkeys and then went home. So I was like, let me show you what turkey hunting's really about. So I was like, hey, let's go to this spot where I had these three gobblers. Now I know all I need to do is get in there better. So we get to the spot. No one else is there. And so I'm excited about that. I have this affliction that happens to me during turkey season. When I start waking up early and getting like less sleep than normal, my body decides that what it really wants to do is to have to take a dump like an hour and a half after I wake up. And the drive is such that ends up falling right before I'm about to make the initial mad dash to a roosted bird. So I had to go excuse myself around the corner down the road and like behind some bush. And when I returned, my buddy was like, hey, I heard one. So I was like, great. And I was kind of expecting us to hear a lot more gobbles because it had been just absolutely on fire a few days before. So we kind of move halfway up to where I want to be. And I'm like, all right, let's stand here and listen and we'll get this figured out. And then I don't think we heard another gobble. And it was getting light enough that I was like, we can't just be standing here until we hear a gobble. So I was like, based on what he said, I thought, hey, if we get to this hilltop, that might be a place we can call this bird into. So we zoom all around these hilltops and, or these, what am I even trying to say? The bottom, the fields at the bottom of these hills. And then we climb up this hill real sneaky like, and we set up and I start to call. And I call and like 200 yards away, we hear a gobble, like pretty close. So I'm like, hey, this is great. Like they're not gobbling a lot, but they don't have to if they're going to come right in and we're going to be in their bubble like this. So I'm calling, bird gobbles. He was not responding to all my calls. He was, as we say, he was being quite tight-lipped, which I had somebody point out to me the other day that turkeys don't have lips, but either way, he was being tight-beaked about it. And I thought, well, if we stay here for an hour, he's gonna come check us out. I just feel it. And I feel like it'll work out good. So we stay there. We keep hearing him gobble every so often. I keep trying to sweet talk him in. And before too much longer, sure enough, we hear a shotgun blast on the private line right over the line there on private land. And that turkey gobbled no more after that. Whether that's because he got shot or scared, I don't know. But that was the only turkey we really had to play with. So he and I then took to the old boot leather, and we hiked a long way to get to this other spot, way far away where nobody would be shooting birds out from under us. And we heard a gobble, and then a bald eagle decided to set up camp right over us and just fly over us and make their, I don't even know what call it is, but some sort of call for like 2 hours. And shockingly enough, turkeys did not want to come over where the bald eagle was just going crazy. So that was our hunt there. And that was kind of the moment I realized I have to find a new place to turkey hunt, a better place, because this spot that I had scouted, and I had more than just the one spot that I had scouted in the preseason, but I had hunted the other ones and kind of had similar problems. And I thought, man, I got to go find a place where turkeys are right now today. So the next day, I went to a totally new zone. It wasn't even a spot that I had really marked on X. I just looked at it and I was like, why haven't I tried here? And so long story short on that, I went out into these fields. I saw a group of 5 turkeys. And then at 9 a.m., I was hearing gobbling turkeys over on this other field on the place. And I was able to get a vantage where I could see down into the field, and there were 3 toms in it. And I thought, well, shoot, that'll go great. Let's get in there. So my other spots had been hunted and pressured, and I thought, man, we just got to get somewhere else. And so strangely enough, this spot apparently was not getting that much pressure because the birds were just going crazy on it. And it looked like the spot that everybody would be turkey hunting. I mean, like everybody and their brother would be there. And so I thought, well, we'll try it, but I would bet there's going to be somebody there. So I had like plans A through Z figured out. So I took my buddy again. I was like, hey, let's go try this again. So we went and we set up. We did the whole field edge turkey hunt thing. And sure enough, right at like a little bit after first light, a tom comes into the field. He gobbles like crazy. Struts puts on a show. A hen comes in, scoops him up. I thought it was all over, but they keep hanging out in the field. And long story short, that tom ends up at like 60 yards and he just never comes any closer to my decoys. And we needed him at like 30 for my buddy's gun. And then he turned and walked out of our lives and it was so sad. So it was a crazy turkey hunt. And then there've been several others since then where I've bounced around to new spots, but that just kind of proves my point that if you get to a new spot during the season, that kind of intel is so valuable because you're out there when they're gobbling in the mornings, you're out there actually hunting turkeys during turkey season. So you're not getting a false picture of a place because there's no hunting pressure. Because it can be easy to go scout a spot and then think, wow, this is the best spot ever. And then 2 days into the season, it's absolutely ruined because it gets so much hunting pressure. So that's a huge benefit of in-season scouting, and it has led me to get on more birds this year than I ever thought I would. So now that we've talked about why we should do some in-season scouting, remember, because your spot might get wrecked, because you need to go hunt other turkeys. Another reason to do in-season scouting and move around is because you might still be on birds, but they might be unkillable birds. Not that I think there are unkillable birds, but there are birds that'll be in a location and in a time frame where it is extremely difficult for you to kill them. So sometimes it's best to just go find a different bird. So there's some reasons why to do in-season scouting. So how do you do in-season scouting? Here's some of my sort of rules of thumb that I like to do for in-season scouting. So I like to hop on X because I don't have the time nor the know-how to just drive around and find 100 pieces of public land and go scout them all out. That's just not viable. So I get on X and I find public land. First of all, that's what I'm doing. You might be a private permissions kind of person, and in that case, you can't go scouting around before you decide to hunt somewhere. You got to get permission, or you got to be really sneaky. But I, of course, don't condone that. So for me, I'm looking for public land, and kind of the first thing I'm looking for is water. There has to be a good water source. So, and bonus points if it's some sort of creek or stream, and it's got to be one that holds water and enough water for turkeys, because turkeys love water. The next thing I look for after a place has water, I'm looking for hills and I'm looking for valleys. I'm looking for ridge systems. I'm looking for, you know, canyons and hilltops. I don't know. I'm always refer to them as drainages. You know, you got the hilltop and then it, which in Missouri, this is like a lot of our terrain down here in the Ozarks, is you got hills and valleys just everywhere and they're all wooded. Now where you hunt, that might be a different situation, but one thing I've found about this year is like field turkeys are great if you have good decoys, but the old $10 Walmart decoys, have not really done it for me this year. And you know, they never really do. So when you're hunting hills and semi-thick stuff, you can get away with not even having decoys, and it just really helps. And a bird's got to be within shooting distance to even see your decoy. So it helps out a lot. So I like to look for that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's got bonus points if there are some fields around, just in case you want to play that game or check those fields in the midday for a gobbler out there working a strut zone or something. So you're looking for hills and drainages, you're looking for water, you're looking for fields. The next thing I like to do is I like to look at how big the chunk is and how far away I can get from the parking spot, and just think about where this chunk of land is in relation to the nearest population center. Meaning, is this right next to a major city? Is this a 200-acre piece? In that case, I'm just going to move on, because the chances are, now there's chances that's overlooked, of course, and you never really know till you hunt it, but the chances are that's going to be so completely oversaturated with people that you're never going to get a chance to really hunt. So you want to find a spot that looks huntable, and it looks like not everybody in the world maybe would be hunting this spot. So that's what you're looking for. Then once you get boots on the ground, So say you've done your morning hunt or whatever, and that's kind of failed, and the birds are quiet, and you got nothing to gain. Well, nothing to lose, everything to gain. I did this today, actually. I went out to a spot, had a tough morning hunt, just not a lot of gobbles, in a place that I had had the most amazing turkey hunt ever yesterday, which was crazy. But I don't know, spots change from day to day. So I decided, after everything went silent, I'm just going to go check out this other spot. I wasn't really expecting to strike up a gobbler, but hey, if that happened, that'd be great. So I get to this other spot, and what I'm looking for, especially in the bottom land, is tracks. I want to know if turkeys are walking around here, but even more so than that, I want to know if humans are walking around, and if so, how many and how often. So this second spot I went to today was just absolutely covered in tracks. I mean, it was just a little bit depressing, honestly. Every spot where there was mud in the main trail, there was like a dozen boot tracks. And that told me a lot. And I did not see any turkey tracks. That told me a lot. I got up on those hilltops and everything was incredibly thick. That told me a lot as well. Now, I didn't set foot on every square inch of the place, and I wasn't there at daylight to hear if there was gobbling. Obviously, there must be something that's getting people out on that piece of land. But I don't know. I kind of thought this might not be a spot for me. So that's where the tracks can help you out. Another thing to look out for, if you're not finding turkey tracks, is look for turkey feathers. When turkeys fight, especially two toms, there's going to be feathers lying around sometimes. And if you can find those feathers, that's a really good clue as to what's going on. Another thing you can look for is turkey scat. You can, people say that you can even tell the gender of a turkey by the shape of its turd. That if it's a circle, it's a hen, and if it's a J shape, it's a gobbler. J for gobbler. That's how I remember that. That's a joke. Anyways, those are good things to look for. You can also look for dust bowls, little spots where turkeys have dusted themselves. So that's just like a little sort of oval-shaped crater in the dust. You can also look for strut marks. Now, that one's tough. You have to be somewhere with some bare, powdery dirt to be able to find any strut marks. But when a gobbler struts, he's going to drag those wing tips, and that's going to make some signs. So that's something you can look for as well. I think the ultimate thing, though, if you're scouting a place, the number one infallible way to know if there are turkeys on it or not is to be there at gobbling time in the morning. Now, in the evening, they can trick you because sometimes they're quiet. Now, sometimes they're quiet in the morning, too, but your absolute best and quickest way to know if there are turkeys on this piece of ground is to go and listen for gobbles in the morning. And one thing about preseason scouting is I never do that. I never want to do that. I never want to wake up at 4 a.m. unless I'm getting to turkey hunt. I don't want to wake up just to listen for birds. But maybe that's something I should change, because it truly is the ultimate way to know how many birds are in the area, if there are birds in the area, and if there are even birds that you could get on and hunt. You know, you could sit on a decent ridge and just listen to gobbles. And if it's a day when the turkeys are gobbling good, you could literally sit there and paint in your mind's eye a picture of how those turkeys move through that landscape. You could drop pins on Onyx. You could be like, okay, I was hearing this gobbler over here. Then I heard him over on this hilltop, and I heard him walk all the way over there, and this is probably how far he was. You can put a lot of pieces of the puzzle together just by listening. And so that's a key part of turkey hunting, as I'm sure you all know. So listening for gobbles is huge when you're trying to do some in-season scouting, because you're going to be up anyway. So you go try a new spot. Maybe you have two spots that are close to each other, and you've decided, like, hey, from the hours of sunrise until probably 7:30, you know, if you're in a good area, there's a decent chance on a good day that birds are going to be gobbling at least that long. So you can check one spot out, and if you don't hear gobbles, or maybe you don't hear them in the spot where you feel like you can get on them, you bounce over to another spot and you listen for gobbles, and then maybe you can hear some there. That's what happened with this spot I was talking about earlier in the episode. I literally just dedicated my morning to bouncing around and listening for gobbles. And the first place I went, I didn't hear any gobbles at all. And the second place I went, I saw a bunch of turkeys in the field, and then I heard a bunch of gobbles in a different piece. And so I was able to find like two separate really good spots to hunt that I otherwise would not have found at all. So that's a huge plus right there for listening for gobbles. Sometimes you need to just devote a morning to, dang it, I'm not hearing them on my piece, I'm not hearing them on my private, whatever's happening, I'm going to go out and go listen in different places until I find a gobble, or until it's 9 o'clock and I figure they're not gobbling anymore. So that's a good move. Another thing about in-season scouting that's so good is you don't really have to worry about getting set up on a bird before daylight. Like, you don't have to do the whole roost them and then be in and set up 2 hours before he starts gobbling thing. That's the way I used to always do it. And I think that's kind of like a deer hunting mentality. It's a great way to do it, especially if you have private land and you're able to roost a bird. It can be extremely successful. But one thing I've noticed about my in-season scouting, when I decide to sort of throw a dot at the map and go hunt a new place, there's no point in getting way deep on a chunk, because you don't really know where those gobblers are going to be. You might think you know, and you might be right sometimes, but a lot of times turkeys just do not roost where you maybe think they're going to. Case in point, yesterday on my hunt, I got up. I was like, here's this beautiful ridge line that runs for almost a mile. I'm going to get there and I'm going to beat it halfway down that from the parking lot. And there I'm going to stand and listen for gobbles. All fine and good. I get about halfway down it, and guess where all the gobbles were coming from? That's right. They were all behind me. So I had to turn around and backtrack completely and loop around. And I wasted a lot of time that way. But this time of year especially, gobblers will spend a lot more time in the tree, it seems like to me. At least that's what I've been noticing. So if you're really on it, you hear two or three gobbles from the parking lot, and you book it, and they're reasonably close, you can be within striking distance of that gobbler and call him right in. It can work. I've seen it happen, and not capitalized on it a couple times this year, but That's a good way to do it. So that's another thing that can be helpful. Because if a new spot is intimidating to you because you're like, I don't know where they're roosted, I can't get in there, blah, 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 don't worry about that. Just get there, you know, about 30 minutes before sunrise or something like that. And you're going to hear those first few gobbles, and you're going to know if anybody's there, and you're going to get in there and take off after them. I think sometimes too, there can be a problem with getting to a turkey spot too early, because you'll think like, oh, no one's here, but it's just that nobody's there that early. And so you might think you're in like a pressure-free zone, and by 8 o'clock, there might be 12 cars in the parking lot. So not saying you should wait and get there till 8 o'clock. I think that's absolutely stupid, but you know, you hunt when you can. And if that's the only chance that some people have, by golly, go take advantage of it. Go hunt when you can, and go find some new spots. If your turkey spot's drying up on you, don't just hunker it down and ride a dead program, man. Get out there, find something new, find a way to get on these birds because turkey season just happens once a year. I mean, there is a fall turkey season, but let's all be honest about that. It is simply not the same as the spring season. And if you have a population with enough birds for you to feel good about doing that, that's great. I think it's fascinating, but spring turkey season is just different. To hear the spring thunder, to chase the gobbler, to call him in, man, that's special. And when you have something special, you need to do what you can to hold on to it. And if your spot isn't being special, you need to go find one that is. So I just want to leave you with that. You've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. So get out there, do some in-season scouting if you're running aground here during turkey season, or if you've got another tag and you've already had success and you're jonesing to get out there, man, get out there, try some new spots, go listen, go hunt, just get out there and enjoy it, because here in Missouri, at least, we still have just a little less than a week left, and I've been hunting hard. And I've been extremely fortunate to be able to do so. But I'm feeling it. I am feeling the grind. But I'm telling myself, hey, you want to stick through it. Stick to it. Get through this. Because you're going to be missing these mornings with gobblers very soon. So anyways, everybody, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys are having a great turkey season. Man, if you have some success, let me know about it. I want to celebrate that with you. And man, recommend these episodes to some buddies, maybe who are struggling, maybe who are doing great. Just recommend me to some friends. That's a great way to grow our community and for us all to learn more about turkey hunting. You know, I'm not hosting this like I am the great czar who knows all. I'm hosting this as somebody who wants to get better at turkey hunting too. So recommend me. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can email me at howtohuntturkey@gmail.com. And there's lots of great ways to keep in touch. Leave me a 5-star review if you can. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this show. And not only take yourself hunting, but take somebody hunting with you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.